And again, joins me now, the oldest antique shop in Dublin, no less.
No less, indeed, indeed.
That must be very old.
Well, we're sitting there since 1945. A lot of businesses have gone out of business over the years. My grandfather set it up back in 45, on his retirement, I may say. And we've been going ever since.
In Portobello?
In Portobello Bridge, yeah.
Oh, right by the school there?
Yeah, all across the school, next door to the pub.
Oh, Portobello right. Pub, you can't miss it. Now, the reason I asked you to come in was there was a tourist, apparently, in Ireland, and they stumbled upon a book in a flea market in Limerick. They bought it for €3. It turned out to be a first edition of Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, which she then sold for €8,000.
That's right, yeah.
Not bad if you can do it.
Not bad.
Now, but such steals are few and far between, I would think.
They are indeed, but there certainly does happen. I would imagine that he bought a few books before he bought that particular book, so he might have spent well over 8,000 on books before he found his one gem.
Well, the lovely Ingrid, interestingly, does buy books. Like, she goes to antique fairs, but only buys books.
Yeah, yeah, there's plenty of collectors out there for all sorts. We call them sleepers. They're items that are out there, people might know about, but just haven't emerged yet. There's plenty of things out there. For example, the 1985 20 pence piece coin, which we all would have come across, they're worth £8,000.
You're joking me.
Yeah, well, there was only 50 that minted. They were put into mint as a test run,
yeah.
So the 20 test them on vending machines, and then they were all meant to be melted down, but subsequently some of them disappeared, and now they're worth 8,000. So with 20 pence piece worth €8,000, so there's money out there to be found. For example, of other things that were found, a guy pulled out a painting from a skip up in Rathmines, very close to us, outside the church there in Rathmines. He sold the painting to a dealer for £150 at the time, and the dealer subsequently sold it on for £60,000. Came out of a skip. Dealer in Francis Street last year had a goblet in his window. Every dealer saw it. Few made offers on it. Nobody reached what he was looking for, €100 for it. He got an inkling it was worth a little bit more, so he sent an email to one of the auction houses in London. They got very excited about it, came back to him, brought him over, he brought the goblet over and sold it for £18,000
really?
Sterling.
So he didn't even know what he wanted.
He didn't even know what he had.
And he was a dealer.
And he was a dealer, and all the dealers came into him. He was on Francis Street, one of the best known antique streets in Dublin. They were all in, looking at it. None of them bought it, so they're out there.
That, what made that goblet so expensive?
It's rarity. It's all to do with how many of them there's out there, the history of it, who made it. That particular goblet was an Irish goblet. It was very unique, so that's what made it so valuable. You know, I mean, there's plenty of things, like, as is well known, the Caravaggio was found, and it's hanging now up in the National Gallery, was found in the dining halls of the Jesuit halls in Milltown, sitting on there for 20 years and nobody knew about it, you know? So these things are out there.
So what should people do with what is perceived as junk? I mean, how do you know the difference between junk and treasure trove?
Well, there's an eye to it, and I like to think I have the eye. So, like, what people often do is they email me pictures of what they have. I'd go through it and see, and I'd have an idea, and I'd come back to them and say, and if, you know, you can't be an expert in everything, and that's the thing. And if my advice to someone, if they wanted to get into this, would be to learn as much as you can about one particular subject and just go for that subject, whatever it may be, painting, ceramics, furniture, whatever. Just learn your field and know your field.
Now, two things, really, from personal experience. When I went to Australia in 1987 for the World Cup, I met a fella on the plane, and he was Australian. And he said to me that he made all his money. He was now a wealthy man. Mm-hmm. And he made all, and he was really grateful to the Irish, because he made all his money by going to itinerants in Ireland who had sort of collected stuff from houses and skips and all this, and he picked up some wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, presumably a lot of that is gone, but is there still treasure trove out there?
No, of course there is. There's still plenty of stuff out there to find and look. Okay, you're not maybe going to make the mark cup that this particular gentleman made in South Africa. But there is plenty of stuff out there that people are keen on. I always say if you're looking for an antique, the best valuable antique run-of-the-mill is functional furniture, functional pieces that people can use still. Big, awkward items. If they're not, you know what I mean, there was plenty of Victorian furniture out there, very cumbersome furniture that doesn't really fit
because
in modern homes.
Because the Victorians made cumbersome furniture because they had big houses.
They had big houses, exactly. But they also had small pieces that still fit well into houses today. And that's what has value. And that's what, if you can pick them up at the right price, you will sell them, even in today's market.
But if you've got something at home that's been sitting on a counter somewhere or whatever, it probably belongs to your granny. Yeah. I mean, you probably didn't get it from your dad, really. Isn't that so? It's more likely to be something that's been sitting around the house for a long time.
It gets handed down to generations. And people,
nobody thought what there was worth that.
No. A lot of people would have sentimental value of stuff. They'd look at something and think, oh, I remember my granny sitting on that and stuff like that. And when you go to buy it, then the problem is you're trying to, because there's no value on sentimental, you know, for me, if I was a dealer. But I'd be just looking at purely the piece itself and saying it's worth X amount, you know. And to be honest with you, if I can get it for as little as possible and sell it for as much as possible, that's the name of the game, you know.
Yeah, there was a great scam in Ireland in the late 1950s by an Austrian gentleman, but the scam was called Shanahan's Stamp Auctions. And this guy, you invested, you know, and he said, well, you're investing in stamps. And anyway, it was a Ponzi scheme, of course, and it eventually collapsed. But do stamps still have rarity?
Yeah, of course they do. People are still out there looking for penny blacks, and there's one in the States that was printed upside down and stuff like that. The rarer they are, the more unusual they are, they're worth money. My own grandfather, Christy Bird, was at an auction many years ago in the 50s and came across a stamp collection, and inside it there, lo and behold, there was a penny black, and he said, "Oi, I'll be back," and he went back and empties his savings, came back to the auction, just about to start the bidding. He said, "I just have a quick peek again," and looked through, and someone had sleepily taking the penny black out.
No!
Yeah, so it does happen, but you have to keep your eye out. And even at auction and anywhere and anything, it's buyer beware. So once he put his money down, he could have stuck whatever down on that. It was his, you know. So you have to be very careful and wise in what you're doing. You know, it happens. Things happen like that.
But there's one thing about, you know, buying something for €3 and selling it for 8,000. I mean, if you bought something for €100 and you sold it for €300, how badly off you would be. There have to be a lot of items which are probably still available relatively cheaply, but are worth much more.
Yeah, of course. And it's the amount of volume you sell. So if you buy something that for €100 and you're looking for 5,000, it might take you 3 years to sell it. But you're not better off buying 10 things and getting 500 for each of them, and then you're making just as much money quicker.
Well, I was really surprised when my mother died, for instance. Like, there'd been the table in the house for a long time, great big old table, and not knowing anything about it, I was close to throwing it out. But luckily, interestingly, my wife said, that might be worth something. Now, it wasn't worth thousands at all, but it was worth, I remember, dying £500 or £600, which was an awful lot more money than I would have thought. It was firewood.
Yeah, well, that's where you get people coming in, and you got to get a, you know, ring people, email people, you know what I mean? Come to me, I'll certainly look at anything. I look at anything, and I buy all sorts. I buy modern, I buy old. If I can resell it, there's plenty of things. For example, larder presses, which were in every house in Ireland, you know, little pull-down flaps? They were thrown out in the 60s and 70s because they went out of fashion. Now you can't get them. They're not there anymore. People love them. They're all looking for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's astonishing stuff. I remember somebody coming in. I mean, I'm sorry for personalising this, but it's the only information I have, you know, and I'm not an expert. But, like, I've been in the same house for 40 years. Mm-hmm. The house itself is 50 years old. But I remember an electrician came in to do something, and he said, oh, you don't see those kind of light switches anymore. Yeah. Now, I never, you know, because they were the old method.
Baker light, well, no. Metal ones, were they? They all have value.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised. I suddenly thought those switches have been on the wall forever, but they now have a value. So we don't really necessarily have to find something that Queen Anne sat on.
No, not at all. There's plenty of things out there. There's toys that were made in the 80s that are now worth 4,000 or 5,000, you know what I mean?
Really?
They were sold, like beanie toys, you know, little beanie toys, I don't know if you do, but they were sold for €2 or €3 for kids in the 80s. They're now, some of them are worth 4,000. You know what I mean? And it's common run a day, and it doesn't even need to be that long ago that they were produced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I think of my own childhood and toys, I remember like a lot of kids of my generation would have had train sets,
very
electric
collectible
train sets. I mean, obviously we threw them all out or whatever, you know, but I think back now, 40 years later, those Hornby 00 train sets probably have quite a value.
Yeah, I have mine still up in my attic, waiting for it to double in value.
What about sporting memorabilia, which would be something very close to my heart?
Yeah.
I mean, what about, for argument's sake, if I had, you know, the programme of Ireland, France and such and such a date or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, the real thing is what you have to realise is you have to find a buyer, and things are only worth what you can get for them. So you have to go out there. There is certain auctions that would deal in sporting memorabilia, for example. On that note, only the other day I was going through 78 records and I found a recording of Newcastle versus Sunderland, first half on one side, second half, 1935. Very interesting. Now, to find a buyer for it, the next stage, and that is, you know what I mean, it's half getting it. Buying, getting its value is what you're really trying
to
get.
A willing seller has to have a willing buyer,
exactly,
or vice versa.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
It's got to be of interest to somebody. If a fella really wants it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Ideally, you want two fellas wanting it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Well, this is very difficult about stuff off the listeners, but we might have a crack at it. Do you mind?
Yeah.
This fella, he found an old revolver in his garden. He thinks it's about 100 years old. Is there money in firearms?
There is certainly worth money in firearms. I would suggest not to touch it. Don't try and clean it up, because you can ruin the patina on things. Leave it as it is and bring it to someone who knows what they're doing. Don't try and doll things up yourself, polishing them up, because it doesn't work. You're devaluing the item.
Oh, that's interesting. What about Rosewood Queen Anne dresser, Royal Irish Constabulary silver mugs? Any chance of making a few bucks?
Yeah, there's money in it. There's money in it, all right.
I thought Queen Anne was worth a lot of money.
Queen Anne, it depends. These things are very fashionable, you know what I mean? It comes in and out of fashion, and it really depends what they look like. You know, it's very hard. I need to see stuff to be able to give you my exact opinion on it. But, you know what I mean? There's certain stuff that does sell, certain stuff just doesn't sell. Sideboards, for example, can't give them away. Desks sell them all day long.
Now, you mentioned, finally, just before you go, you mentioned coin, this famous 20p coin, any particular coins out there, Irish ones now, that might be sitting at home in a bag somewhere that are worth a few quid?
Well, as I say, if you have a 1985 20 pence coin, you're looking at 8 grand. There's plenty, well, there was about 50 of them produced, so there's not that many of them.
What about 10 bob notes and pound notes?
Yes, they all have certain value, and as they go longer back, and if you have, it depends on the notes you have of years ago, it really depends.
Right.
It's a limited market, you know?
Okay, sure. All right, well, there you are. I'm sorry it's all my best stuff.
No.
And I could have made a fortune with Christy Bird Flanagan. Remember, that's Ireland's oldest Dublin's oldest antique shop in Portobello, just next to the pub, opposite the college.
Check out the website, www.christybird.com.
There you are. You don't even have to go there. ChristyBird.com. Eamon Ryan is on the way for the Thursday interview.
The Right Hook with Nationwide UK Ireland. Protect and grow your savings.